Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't shot, you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
It's Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden filling in for our good friend and colleague Karen Cataline. So we'll be doing the show, and we invite you to our own show, which we have on Wednesdays from 3 to 4, and we invite all our listeners on our show to go to Karen's show too. So
exactly, Karen. Yeah, I want to thank her for this opportunity. She's been doing this. She's like our little podcast guru. I call her every 5 minutes and say, what are we doing, and she walks me through it. So this is Karen Cataline show, spotting off again. Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden, we have our own show here with BBS Radio on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 Denver time. If you want to call into the show today, here's the number: 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And one programming note too, I want to let you know, next week Karen is going to be back, and she's going to have on Elad Hakim. He's a political writer, commentator, and attorney, been published Washington Examiner, American Thinker, just about everywhere. So that should be a great show when she comes back next week. Well, go, Chuck.
All right.
Nothing to talk about today,
No, it's beginning of the great 2020 impeachment today. Starting just a couple minutes ago, they've officially gaveled everything in, and they're going to be talking. Apparently, there'll be first Schumer for a couple hours. Excuse me.
First McConnell.
McConnell for a couple hours, laying out what he's going to, what the rules should be, at least according to him. You'll have a couple hours of Schumer, God help us, telling us why they're unfair and ridiculous. And
that they should be able to subpoena John Bolton, President Trump, Mike Pence, Barron Trump, but not Joe Biden,
no,
Adam
no,
Schiff,
no.
Certainly not Eric Ciaramella, the whistleblower. Don't want to hear from the whistleblower.
No, nobody.
From Ukraine can talk either. It's ridiculous. So this is my read on this, Chuck. Tell me what you think. So what we're going to have today is a bunch of arguing back and forth, right?
Well, that's what they do in the Senate.
In which they pretend like they're actually crafting these rules, which, of course, we all know they're going to, like Adam Schiff, they're going to make up as they go along. Remember the one hearing where they were trying to, somebody was saying, point of order, Chairman Schiff, you know, I should get to say this. And he said, he banged, he goes, no, you can't say that. And they're like, why not? And then he said, because of the rules. And they're like, what rules? And he was like,
my rules.
The rules, I just made them up. No one knows what they are. It makes it so much more fun.
Well, that's the problem with Schumer. No matter what Schumer says, he's really undercut by the fact that in the House, there were no rules. They made no effort to be fair. They had no effort to do anything. So when they come to the Senate, they're going, this isn't totally fair. When in fact, it's 1,000% better than they did in the House. It sort of gets ridiculous. I mean, it is ridiculous.
And so as I understand it, so this will probably go late tonight, right? So like literally a couple of hours of riveting television where Mitch McConnell lays out the rules, followed by more riveting arguing over the rules, then a couple of hours of Schumer.
Debate.
Then Schumer, I mean, so.
Then they'll offer amendments. Schumer will offer amendments. Republicans, who knows, with Mitch McConnell, hopefully he's got his caucus in line. But with Romney, you never know. And they'll vote for him, and then everybody will walk out
and
outraged.
And theoretically then, tomorrow, and I'm going to go out on a limb and predict actually that even this arguing portion about the rules is going to take longer than anyone thinks. That's just my experience in life in general. Things that you want to hurry up take longer than they should. So then, though, after that, then the Democrat House managers, so to speak, so the prosecutors, I guess we'll call them, they'll have 2 12-hour sessions, theoretically, to explain their side, followed by the president now has, really, I think we're like the only people not on his defense team.
Well, that's a surprise announcement. We're joining the defense team later today.
Later today. Chuck
Last
and Julie.
Minute, Chuck and Julie.
That's where Karen Cataline is today. She was called in earlier. I think, though, that's good. He got some of those House people who did such a great job. Because I do trust, I got to say this, Republicans in the House a lot more than I trust Republicans in the Senate.
Yes,
so I'm glad they're going to have Mark Meadows there saying to Mitt Romney, no, Mitt, we're not going to do that. Mitt, you can't ask that question. And then the way I understand it, after they do all of that, then they're going to argue some more about calling witnesses. And here's what I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit today is the whole calling of witnesses. Because, you know, I go back and forth on this, Chuck. What do you, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, if you call, you know, the president can exert executive privilege, right? And it seems only fair. It makes it hard, I think, for the Democrats to argue, well, we can call John Bolton, but you can't call the Bidens, right? Or you can't call the whistleblower, or you can't call Schiff. So there's a part of me that would kind of like to see that happen. There's another part of me, and I got to say, I think the bigger part of me that thinks they should just hurry up and get this over with. Because once it starts to go down that road, you don't know where it's going to go. We do know the Democrats are going to, and the media are just going to, I guess the right word for this would be lie about whatever happens. So what do you think?
Well, you should imagine what watching a football game with Julia is like. I'm really for this team. They start losing. I'm for the other team. She'll shift back and forth. But I think as a practical matter, the Democrats would absolutely try to call witnesses. You got nothing to lose.
Sure.
You got nothing to lose. And they want this thing to go as long as they can so they can get new. Oh, we got new evidence. The longer it goes on, they can, wherever they set up, going, oh, my gosh, record-breaking, great news. And so I would argue vociferously as a Democrat. On the Republican side, I've come to the conclusion, no, try to end it. I mean, you know, you just try to end it. Get it over with. Because the media is going to trash you no matter what. Just get on and you're on to it, you know, whatever the new scandal du jour is.
That's right.
But, you know, if they have to call witnesses, I have a feeling that Bolton will not be as great as they want. And if you get Hunter Biden up there, and if they can get Bolton, you know, the problem is executive privilege, got to go to court, come back. Hunter Biden does not have an executive privilege.
No. Well, so, yeah, and that's 888-627-6008. If you want to chime in on this, 888-627-6008. Chuck Bonnemal and Julie Hayden filling in for Karen Cataline. I think that here's the bottom line that the Democrats have, and that is Trump did not actually do anything wrong. The bottom line problem the Democrats have is Trump released the transcript. The bottom line problem that the Democrats have is that nobody said there was a quid pro quo. Nobody said that aid was withheld. In fact, the aid was given. So the underlying problem, so they're stuck with this abuse of power, which means almost anything, and obstruction of Congress, which is like, that's a good thing in my mind, obstruction of, everyone should obstruct Congress whenever and wherever possible. And yet on the other hand, the Democrats also, I think, make it clear, this is just something they want to do, just keep throwing mud. You know, and I think it's going to be like a lot of things, like when they go to government shutdowns, right? They're going to be polling constantly how this is working. When Chuck and I had our show on, I guess, terrestrial radio, we talked a lot with the folks from the Republican National Committee and the Trump 2020 campaign. And they told us that they monitored it polling wise constantly, internal polls. And they said, they guarantee you the Democrats do that also. So if
Democrats do even, double.
You're right. And so if you think that this is some sort of organic process out there where somebody actually, and I'm going to go really on both sides.
You're kidding me.
Republicans do this too, where somebody is actually trying to get to the truth or whatever. That's not the case at all. They're going to be polling constantly. The bigger problem the Democrats have is, since this has started, Trump's numbers have not really, the needle has not moved, right? No. And in fact, some of the polls show that they're losing independence. The Trump supporters are more supportive of him. Some of the Democrats even are shifting over, not the hardcores, but the independents.
There's no indication. I mean, if you look at the polls, it's pretty clear the Democrats are convinced that whatever to get rid of Trump, you have to do.
Fake
news, yes. Independence, that's a different deal, but it's close. I mean, Gallup, who I semi-trust of all of them, showed 51% were opposed, 46% wanted him convicted and removed. So that's a pretty close one. I mean, CNN had probably just the opposite of that, but CNN does nothing straight, so why would you think they did the polling straight?
Well,
I think it's a pretty close thing. or the Democrats would have dropped it a while back. It's clear it's close enough that they go, well, maybe if we can get somebody really cool or get something going, we might just win this whole thing.
And both sides are fundraising off of it, right?
Well, Trump is doing great on the fundraising, tremendous on the fundraising.
Right, exactly. And the Democrats are just going to have Michael Bloomberg give them all money when they get done.
Yeah.
So I think that that's sort of the behind the scenes mechanics that you need to be aware of, that a lot of what's going to happen, I truly believe, is going to be on how it looks polling wise. And I think we saw going into this that there was a lot of, shall we say, impeachment fatigue.
Right.
And so we'll have to see how that all plays out. And I think,
well, if they actually do, 12 hours twice a day for each side. I mean, anything can be more deadly dull than that. I mean, can you imagine them? They're going to have to figure out getting graphics, they're going to have to do something to make it a little more lively, because the practical matter, nobody wants to listen. I mean, you're going to find those senators snoozing off.
And they can't use their cell phones, so they can't play video games or anything like that.
No, the usual stuff.
No, you're right. And the other thing is these are not going to be witnesses where at least – something interesting might happen, right? These are going to be essentially opening arguments by each side.
But I can promise you, having lots of trials, I don't know of an opening argument that lasts 24 hours. I mean, maybe back in the 19th century or something. But these people are going to just be snoozers, and I think the American people are. Are you going to listen to all 48 hours of this garbage? I mean,
I know. Well, and here's another thing too. Again, sort of the mechanics of the operations. We saw previously during all of this that CNN and MSNBC ratings went down. Now, why is that important? Well, Fox ratings went up during all of this, right?
Right.
That's important because it shows you who cares about this.
Right,
so the people who are more interested in all of these proceedings are Republicans, who are getting angrier and angrier and angrier about it. The people who are less interested are Democrats, who I think, as you said, they still want to get rid of Trump, but I don't think they're going to sit through. Here's the thing. The Democrats don't care why they get rid of Trump, right?
No.
I think if you're the Democrat voter, you're like, don't put us through this. Just get rid of him, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not that easy, thank God.
Well, the reason why the viewership for CNN and MSNBC is going down is because who wants to watch something that Trump gets acquitted by at the end? If in fact they thought he would be, they could get 20 Republicans to go over. I promise you, MSNBC and CNN would be huge.
Right.
But since it's going to be, it seems inevitable, and they've already watched the House where they figured, okay, we'll get some weak Republicans over the side, and they didn't. In fact, the opposite had. They got one, maybe two, depending how you count them, Democrats and no Republicans. So everything has gone opposite of what they hoped.
Well, let me ask you about Mitt the Rat Romney, okay? That's my new name for him. So on the one hand, I think you're right. No one, in order to actually convict the president on these, they would need to have all of the Democrats hold strong and then get 20 Republicans to cross lines. That's unlikely to happen. But to call witnesses, they don't need that 20, right? They just need a majority.
Yeah.
So you could get a couple of Republicans.
No, you need three. You need three to get a 50-50. And then nobody knows what happens.
What happens?
Does Roberts make the decision, or does the tie go to the...
Which seems unlikely.
No, it definitely does not go to Pence, but what happens, and nobody knows. And so that, you could see Mitt Romney, who is just, there's a person who's...
A rat, Mitt the Rat Romney.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's just so unauthentic. I mean, John McCain at least came across as authentic in his awfulness. Mitt does not. I mean, after begging Trump to be Secretary of State, after begging for this, and then he says, oh, he's so awful, I could never do anything. He's hoping to be the new John McCain, and he's coming across as the new Jeff Flake. I mean, that's all he is.
Well, and that's my thing.
And it's not happy.
I think that the wrath of the Republican Party, for what it's worth, which maybe is the bigger question, would fall on a Mitt Romney, or if anyone, how do I say it? If Mitch McConnell loses his caucus, so to speak, how angry do you think Mitch McConnell is going to be to the Mitt Romneys, or is there really anything he can do?
No, there's nothing they can do. Utah is its own kind of specialness. No, there's nothing they can do unless the people of Utah start saying, well, we don't want him. He's going to get a primary challenger. And he did, when he first came, but he overwhelmingly won that. So I don't think that it's nothing can be done to Mitt, but he doesn't like to be considered Mitt the Rat Romney. He wants to be considered the independent voice, you know, which used to always get you, you know, huge, great publicity. You were hailed by the mainstream media. The trouble is the mainstream media doesn't like Mitt Romney either.
Well, and let's go back to this, and let's talk about another rat flying in the ointment is this Lev Parnas guy, or Parva. I can always say his name wrong. Yeah. Okay, to me, he's just another Michael Cohen, right? He was somebody who was, well, Michael Cohen even had more direct contact. This guy is a crooked guy, nothing to do with the president, and is now, I believe, trying to cut a deal. So he's going to say, oh, I know all kinds of secret stuff about the Ukraine. Here's what I think is going on there. The Democrats are just floating him out there to try to come up with reasons to peel away enough Republicans to vote for witnesses. Because I think if you're a Democrat, you, like you were argued earlier, you want to have witnesses because you just never know, right? Right now, it's not looking that great. It's not, you know, particularly exciting. It's not moving the needle. It's not helping you or your candidates really at all. But if you can kind of just keep throwing stuff out there, then maybe you can call witnesses and who knows what might happen. And I think that's all they're doing with this guy. Because every time I try to read, okay, so wait, now what did he say? It's like he's making stuff up. He's talking about Devin Nunes.
Being in Vienna.
When he wasn't in Vienna.
And whoever he's supposed to be meeting with, which is a prosecutor from the Ukraine, he wasn't in Vienna. And so he's been caught lying various times. I think last night, Giuliani was on the show with Laura Ingraham, and he was saying he's a bad liar. I mean, you don't lie about things that can be easily disproved. And he said he's a bad liar. Now, that begs the question, then what were you doing hanging around with the guy?
Right, right.
I mean, that's the part that is very awkward for Giuliani and also for the president. What were people doing hanging around this incredible snake? And he looks like a snake. I mean, you know, he's a very strange-looking individual.
Well, and they have all these people floating around, so I think that's what they're going to try to do. But again, that opens the proverbial, you know, Pandora's box there, because if you want to talk about Trump and meeting, you know, this Parvis guy and all this kind of stuff, then you can also then, at a certain point, if you're a Republican, bring up, okay, so we know that Joe Biden flat out said, because we've all seen and heard the audio and the video from by now, where Joe Biden went ahead and said, you know, $1.5 billion, you know, the SOB, you know, call me right now, I'm going to, you know, fire that guy or going to withhold the money. I mean, that's flat out quid pro quo, right?
Right.
And I think that, I don't know. Tell me, Chuck, you have a little bit more experience than me in terms of the internal politics here. I have to imagine that there is some internal fighting going on between the DNC, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden. Because all of this, I mean, we'll talk about the Schweitzer book in a second. All of this, every time we get to talk about Trump and quid pro quo, everybody talks about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and quid pro quo. And I think if you're Joe Biden, you would just as soon get this over with as quick as possible. Also, and right now, it looks like Joe Biden might be the candidate. So how does all of that factor in?
Well, I think the Bidens are a separate one. I think the DNC supports the congressional run Schumer because, you know, if Joe Biden doesn't get it, then maybe, you know, Elizabeth Warren gets it.
And Amy Klobuchar, we'll split it like the New York Times.
As long as they hate Bernie, but they could work with Elizabeth Warren. So I think the Bidens are saying, let's just get this over with as fast as we can. But I think the DNC says, no, this is key for House races, for Senate races, for everything. We've got to roll the dice. So I think the Bidens want to, no, don't do it, don't do it. But they don't have much influence. And
they care that much. Okay.
The Bidens care, but the DNC figures, you know, we still have 6-7 other candidates. If he goes down, great, we'll get somebody else.
Hey, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, our good friend Charlene Hardcastle from Denver is here. Hey, Charlene, welcome to Chuck and Julie filling in for Karen.
Oh, yes. I just found out this morning. I got on Facebook and I saw that you were subbing for Karen and Catlin today. And I just want to say about the impeachment, if I may, that, you know, how did we get to the point where we're legitimizing this sham impeachment? You know, we should have nipped it in the bud right at the beginning and, you know, give an inch and they'll take a mile. And the thing about McConnell, I feel like the more McConnell talks, the more intense he is, the more he's really talking tough to cover up for caving behind the scenes. Because if you read the book, remember the book, Drain the Swamp, that Ken Buck wrote?
When you get
to the Congress, they'll give you committee assignments. if you don't play ball, you don't get a committee assignment.
No,
and the way they get you to play ball is give you the committee assignment, and then if you don't go along, the speaker or the majority leader can yank that assignment. He doesn't need a vote or anything. He can
That's right. And it was interesting. Ken was on with Cheryl Atkinson yesterday, and his quota is $275,000.
Right. They have to raise money. They lock them. Like, literally.
Oh, right. They have to pay for their committee assignment, right?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
He was telling us, like, almost literally they lock you in a phone booth, and you got to dial for dollars till you hit your amount there. That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
And so what I'm saying is, if McConnell couldn't get these four or five that are starting to peel off, if he couldn't get those senators in line, he could say, there goes your committee assignment. So he doesn't really want to get them in line. You know, they should have said, no, we're going to vote on quitting this, dismissing it, and no drama, no witnesses. Because
they didn't have the votes,
Charlene.
He didn't have the votes.
Well, but she's saying he could have whipped him into shape.
Well, I don't know. You know, they're up for re-elections. And so at least Collins in Maine is. And it's pretty amazing. And think for in the House, where Ken Buck is part, he said there are a lot of Congress persons whose district will not produce 275,000 contributions. There just isn't the money there of people willing to contribute. So you have to sell yourself out to, of course, the Chamber of Commerce, who always has, you know, extra people. So you become, even though, you know, they didn't help you get you elected, they didn't give you money, but once you get in there, you have to become a acolyte of the Chamber of Commerce, or you'll never get your 275.
Yeah. Well, Charlene, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I trusted, like, Devin Nunes, Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows. I trusted those guys in the House. I got to admit, I don't totally – that they would do that was best for the country, best for the president, best for the people who voted for the president, right? I do not have that same degree of trust for Mitch McConnell. What do you think?
No, I don't have that degree of trust for Mitch McConnell. And also, he's prone to treadmill accidents. Remember when he had that accident? So I feel like they can – I don't know. I don't think he's as strong as the Devin Nunes and the Jim Jordans. And, you know, sometimes I think that if this whole thing is just a fundraising show, because the Democrats get to fundraise off of it, the Republican Party gets to fundraise off of it, and Trump gets to fundraise off it.
Well, so, there you go. Win,
you know,
win,
I'm
win.
Hoping,
so what you're saying is we're the victims.
I'm hoping that. And we don't see it go away until we've given as much money as we can. And
then like,
okay, all right, guys, I've contributed $10 million. Hey. We can end these proceedings.
That's a good point. Hey, Charlene,
okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Charlene.
Kind of the bright side is that maybe it's just a fundraising show and everything's going to be fine and Trump's going to stay in power. But then the other side is that they're going to peel off some squishy Republicans and we may lose Trump and then we're going to be, you know, lost for generations to come. But anyway, I'm hoping it's just a show and it'll be over soon.
All right. We are too. Thank you, Charlene. Appreciate your call. Hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Take care, Charlene.
You know, she raises a good point. Maybe they have, like, you know, when you drive down in Denver, if you drive by, what's it called, Empower Field now? It used to be Mile High Stadium. And whenever they would have some major fundraising, they'd have, like, the big thermometer there and they would move it up, right?
Well, that was the United Way.
Right. And so that's what they have with the Democrats and the Republicans. And they're like, when they reach their fundraising goal, they will both unilaterally declare the impeachment over and a victory for each side. So
I don't know of a single person who's dying to listen to the oral arguments of either the Democrats or Republicans for 48 hours, for an hour.
Right.
I mean, they're going to have to do a lot of multimedia ones to make it even, you know, barely listenable.
I'm going to raise another thing, and this kind of goes to what Charlene was talking about, and that is, are there ulterior motives? And I read a really interesting column in American Thinker this morning, and I apologize, I forget who it was from, but their theory was that the Democrats do this kind of thing where they try out a strategy, right? And if it works, then they implement that in other cases. And this person talked about, like here in Colorado, we were talking about this on our show last week, the Colorado model, right? Where they plot and take over state legislatures and then state governments. And then they use those state governments to turn the state extremely progressive and to accomplish things that they would never be able to accomplish on a national level.
More importantly, they change all the election rules.
That's what I'm saying.
Ballot harvesting and everything else. So, I mean, on this time, it's just amazing. And this is Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, filling in for Karen Kathleen. What they do is they make it impossible for the Republicans ever to win. So here in Colorado, I mean, this session would normally be a more modest one for the Democrats.
They overreached last session.
Right. And we were speaking to the North Jeffco a Tea Party meeting, and Tim Neville was there, and you know,
former state legislator. His son is the minority leader in the Colorado House,
and he was saying, you know, no, they're going to be worse because they don't think they can lose.
Well, they can't, and they can't lose, and so that's what they do. Is they and it started in Colorado. I mean, there's a great book out there if you've never read it called The Blueprint Colorado, and the Republicans are so dumb they explain it in the book. There's actually a book where they explain how they did it, and Republicans are like,
it was a book by Rob Whitworth. Right.
But it's, but you would think that maybe the state Republican Party chair, that should be required reading for every state and precinct Republican person in the country.
They don't care because that's like a Model T, right? I mean,
on steroids now.
Yeah, I mean, the 18 years since they started that, I mean, they've built Ferraris. I mean, they're not, you know, the Republicans going, now how do you put the wheel on a
and
Model
then the Democrats
T?
Like right over. Well, here's my point with this, though. This column was suggesting, again, the Democrat strategy that we've seen over and over is they get a strategy, they implement it one place, and then they use it everywhere else. And this person is suggesting, and I think there could be some truth to this, that one of the things they've done is they've so sort of degraded the whole concept of impeachment, right? They made impeachment just an everyday common thing. What they are really worried about is not just Donald Trump, because, you know, even if he wins, he's going to be gone in 4 years, but the courts. This person is theorizing, one of the things they want to do is get the American people so used to talking about impeachment that impeachment's not a big deal, that now what they will do is start impeaching judges.
No, I don't think they will, because they have to get, unless they get a much greater percentage, it takes 67 to impeach someone. So as long as the Republicans can hold on to, you know, 34 seats, they'd be okay. What they are going to do is they're going to pack the courts. I know they're going to pack the courts. They're going to kind of go, which is what Roosevelt tried to do in 1936. They just said forget nine. What's, you know, that's since 1869. You know,
they wouldn't have more judges on the
courts. Yeah, they'll just say, okay, forget nine. We're going to have 20.
Now I'm going to push back on that, because here's what I'm wondering what might happen is that, once again, they're not going to be really, just like here, they know they can't actually convict Trump on impeachment, but the whole impeachment process is extremely disruptive. It occupies a president's time. And so I'm wondering is, if they want to start trying to impeach judges, they may not care whether they actually impeach the judge. And bear with me here, because I think there's some points I want to make. So if they can at least raise the specter of saying, hey, we're going to try to impeach a judge, what does that do? Number one, we all saw what Brett Kavanaugh went through at that hearing. I think it's going to be really difficult to get quality, good conservatives or just anybody who wants to be a judge. I mean, the Democrats, I guarantee you what we saw with Brett Kavanaugh, that is their model for dealing with judges. They lied about the attacks. They knew that they lied. They didn't care that they lied. They didn't care that they were destroying him personally and professionally. They didn't care. They just lied, because that's sending a message to somebody else. You want to be a judge? Well, you better be prepared to go through this, number one. Then number two, so you're a judge. Let's say you say, no, I've got the internal stamina to handle all of that. And you do. Now you get on to like, okay, well, now we're just going to impeach you. And now you've got to go through all of that. And I think what it does is it has a real chilling effect, which I think is part of their goal, right? It has a chilling effect on anybody who they might disagree with. And again, let's look at the strategy they use. I'm going to move now to the weird whole gender issue, right? All of a sudden anymore, something that it is most common sense, like there are males and there are females. Pretty common sense, straightforward, been that way since Adam and Eve, right? Well, all of a sudden, no, that's not true anymore, right? No, now there are all kinds of different genders, and you have, I mean, it's just you have people who, they say men having babies, and I'm sorry, men do not have babies.
Oh,
women have.
I know, I'm going to be thrown off BBS radio for saying that.
But here's what they do is they take stuff and they progress, as I'm saying, and part of their strategy is they twist it around and they take something that everyone knows is true and they like it's like Men in Black, right? They flash that little thing in your face and you say, oh no, there are actually numerous genders. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I ever thought that there were just two genders. And I think they're going to do the same kind of thing with things like impeachment, where it used to be impeaching somebody was an extremely, it was like a last resort. It was for something horrible and terrible. Well, now it's just going to be an everyday occurrence. Well, they already say we're going to continue impeaching the president.
Well, they may do it for Supreme Court justices just to harass them. I mean, you can have an impeachment in the House. They can do it by, you know, majority of Democrats, or at least all of the Democrats, and the person has to go through a living hell, even though he gets, you know, acquitted in the Senate. I have to say, it's just easier to appoint, you know, just flood the courts with your own appointees.
Well, again, the Democrats, I think, also are much better than Republicans at playing multiple levels of chess, right?
Yes.
So why not do that? Because
the Republicans play checkers. They're not chess players.
And they play Mario Brothers checkers, right? Our son, we have an 8-year-old son, Rev. We have, it's checkers, and it's got like Mario and Luigi hats that you put on your, that's when you king people.
Oh, okay.
That's what Republicans are playing Mario Brothers checkers. Well, and again, I think the other thing, though, and this is what this columnist at American Thinker was suggesting, is that's part of one of their strategies is you start impeaching the president. Maxine Waters has said we're constantly impeaching and we're going to keep doing this. So impeachment is just an everyday occurrence. Then you start impeaching judges. And I would argue, Chuck, that it can't help but have a little bit of a chilling effect on your rulings and what you say. If you know that when you issue a ruling or you say something, they are going to go after you tooth and claw, right? That makes you stop and think. It makes you stop and think, number one, do I want to even participate in this? And number two, you know, it takes a very strong person to not start pulling their punches. And I think
that's
what they
do. I mean, honestly, the people who are nominated to the Supreme Court have been pulling their punches for decades. Because if you don't, if you're provocative, like Bork, you know, Bork wrote provocative articles, and that killed him.
Yeah, look what happened to him, right?
So you even hear people who are saying, I'd love to be on the Supreme Court, but it wasn't worth spending my life pulling back for something. Who knows what I'd ever get or not? And so they already are. It's interesting. There's another article in Real Clear Politics which said, didn't the Democrats learn anything from the Kavanaugh hearings? And the Kavanaugh.
Yes.
I don't. At least the theory is here. You know, the Kavanaugh hearings was a savior for Republicans. It got them a majority in the Senate they wouldn't otherwise have had absent the Kavanaugh hearings. And here, you know, as a practical matter, one of the real downsides for the Democrats, I think, and there's some good upsides for them, the downsides, if you're in one of those 30, 31 districts that voted for Trump, but nonetheless voted for a Democrat for House, any Trump supporter now, after watching this, is saying, I'm not voting. I'm not splitting my ticket.
Right, right.
And so I think at least one of the downsides of this is I think it increases the chance that the Republicans take back the House. Because in those districts, if you're a Republican, you're not going, yeah, I want Donald Trump, but I certainly want all this happening again. No, you're gonna go vote at least for House and for president. You're not going to split your ticket at all.
Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden here filling in for Karen Cataline. To get all the information on Karen's show, go to KarenCataline.com. Want to let you know she'll be back next week, and her special guest is going to be Ilhan Hakim. He's a political writer, commentator, and attorney. I'm sure they're going to be talking about impeachment. Chuck and I have our own show here on BBS Radio, and we'd love to have you join in and listen. You can call in. You can catch a podcast. It's a Chuck and Julie show at BBS Radio. It's on every Wednesday at 3:00 Denver time. Also, invite your phone calls, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You know, talking about what the Kavanaugh hearing and what happened there, I think you're right, Chuck. You hit a good point there that we saw here in Colorado. Chuck always has good points. And for folks who aren't used to us, we're married. So sometimes I have people say, I can't believe you said that. And then for some reason, whenever I say we're married, they go,
That's
like, our people say, you guys are hilarious. I'm like, you weren't being hilarious. You were just talking. But at any rate, even my daughter says we're hilarious. I'm like, we're not trying to be hilarious.
That's
being
the sad
serious.
Part.
Yeah.
You're not trying to be hilarious and you're hilarious.
But I think that we saw here in Colorado in 2018 a disastrous election on a number of levels. But one of the things that did not happen that typically does happen in Colorado is splitting their ballot. You're right. Typically in Colorado, it would not be unusual to see somebody vote like a Republican for governor, but Democrat for a House seat or for Secretary of State or something like that. That didn't happen at all. And I think, Chuck, you're right. I think that two things are going on. One, Republicans, the Kavanaugh hearing, it did energize them, just like this impeachment does. And it makes them angry and it keeps them engaged. I think, and in part because Donald Trump himself does not back down to anyone or anything, right? On the other hand, you've got the Democrats who I think are, okay, maybe there's a hardcore part of the party who's really into, you know, into these hearings. But most of them, like, look at their candidates. I always tell the story of my cousin who's a Democrat, and she says to me, you'd think in the entire country, we could find a decent candidate. This is like the whole country. There's millions of people out there. You'd think we could find a decent candidate. And I think a lot of the Democrats, and we've been reading increasingly, that if Bernie doesn't get the nomination again, his supporters are like, you know, we're moving to Canada with Prince Harry.
Or somewhere. Well, we got Barney online too. So let's give him a shot. Hey, Barney.
Hey, Chuck and Julie, my favorite friends. Can you hear me?
Can hear you okay. Yeah.
Okay, so the word truth, T-R-U-T-H, how do we say that? Do we say truth or do we say truth? Is it with an F or is it a T-H?
T-H, I think.
Yeah, well, Schumer keeps saying truth, fuck, like F. Are you? Chuck Schumer, he just pisses me off. And by the way, Julie, you're wrong about the judges, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But okay. I can't wait for this. I can't wait to listen to McConnell. I can't wait to listen to Justice Roberts make a total ass clown out of himself, because I know he will. He is a butt clown. Can't wait to listen to Ranger Tab wearing Jason Crow make an ass out of himself.
Oh, he's been all over the place. He's been all over the place. I saw him last night MSNBC, and he's everywhere.
Yeah, you know he had a Ranger cab, don't you? I mean,
that's right.
Just like Kerry used to tell us he was, in Vietnam, whatever. So, Julie, you're wrong about judges. Chuck may agree with me and may not. These people that become judges, they love the power. They are power grabbers, and even a judge, I think I'm right, Chuck, even a little pipsqueak, small-minded, tiny-minded judge in a municipal court has a lot of power. These guys love power. They're not going anywhere. There'll be plenty of candidates to be Supreme Court justices. That's my opinion, because
You're saying, when they look at it, they're like, okay, destruction of my life and everything I know versus power. The judges are going to be like, hey, power, no-brainer.
Well, you could be right. You also have to understand, none of these people being nominated to the Supreme Court or in particular the Court of Appeals are the higher-ups in these law firms. They are not the guys bringing in big money. They're not the ones who are getting $2 million a year, et cetera, et cetera. It's their middle-level partners. Who the idea of getting, I forget what judges are paid these days, but
more than podcast hosts.
$300,000, but you're set for life. And that you're going to get that $300,000 for the rest of your life. You never have to worry about financial everything. You don't have to worry. You have no worries. I mean, you have to understand, if you're part of a law firm, you've got a client, he's not paying, or you're going to have to sue, he's going to sue you back for malpractice, that associate hit on the paralegal. As a judge, you really basic, although it's changed a little bit these days, you just have the life of Riley. You never go home after 5 o'clock. Are you kidding me? You never go into the office on Saturday or Sunday, or if you do, it's just because you're a masochist. You don't understand. Your life worries are taken care of. They're taken care of. And that is so attractive.
Did me and Chuck just beat Julie up?
You did just beat me up. So the waterboarding is over.
Sorry.
Well, it could be.
I heard Charlene, and I can't argue about this crap, but I'd like to hear it because I know it's just going to infuriate me. I know it's going to kick me off.
Barney, but it's a good thing. You'll have to call us back tomorrow because you can vent then. Otherwise, we don't want you to, you know.
I would never vent. Yeah, no. I would never vent on Karen's show. I'll just vent on you guys, make asses out of you. But hey, like I said, can't wait to watch Justice Robert. I know he's going to be a butt clown. I just know it. Clown, butt clown, whatever he's going to be, it's going to be great. But love you guys as usual.
All right, okay. Thank you, sir. We'll talk
take care.
So we're watching. We're kind of here from the world headquarters of our podcast broadcast studio. We're monitoring multiple television screens, and Chuck was saying that he thought in the impeachment, to make it interesting for 12 hours, they're going to have some kind of PowerPoint presentation.
Right, something.
No, right now it's Adam Schiff standing in
But this is a preview.
This is the preview of the thing. I mean, he's standing in front of the marble thing, and he's just kind of talking.
Of all the people to get saying, you have to have all the witnesses. I'm Adam Schiff, who ran the crookedest House proceeding ever. For him to demand fairness is comical.
Oh, I know.
It's comical.
You want to switch gears a little bit. There's so much to talk about. And we'll be talking about this on our show tomorrow, 3 o'clock Denver time. New York Times, and a stunning, compelling, can't stop reading endorsement, endorsed not just Elizabeth Warren, but Amy Klobuchar. Now, what the heck, Chuck, we have the newspaper, the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. If you were endorsed, what kind of endorsement is that? That's a bogus endorsement, Chuck. I'm just sorry.
Well, it's an endorsement saying you don't really believe in anything.
Right.
You don't know what you believe in. You don't know whether you believe in the more radical vision of Elizabeth Warren or the kind of, halfway with Klobuchar. I mean, we don't have any opinions. All we care is that
virtue signaling.
Yeah. As long as it's a woman and there are only two of them left, then we're okay. Just, pick, as they said, pick the best woman.
And
it doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter what they're thinking. And my favorite part of the whole editorial is when they describe Elizabeth Warren as a master storyteller, which is another way of saying she lies.
She's a master storyteller. Cheekbones from her meemaw and
whatever their names are.
Well, here's the thing. The Democrats, and we've talked about this before, and Democrats, everything is, I'm going to back up. So our son had a basketball game, which they won, hooray for Rev, today. Or not today, over
Sunday,
the weekend, and the way, and he's 8, so the way they decide to do, who shoots first, right, they can't really do jump balls because none of them are tall enough, and that always goes awry. So what they do is they do rock, paper, scissors. Paper, scissors to see who gets the ball first, right? And all Democrat politics in its own way is rock, paper, scissors. So do women...
I think that was my original
comment. Was your original comment. Well, you can explain your theory then.
No.
Well, do women, being a woman, does that trump being a white guy?
Yes, rock, paper, scissors, that works. That's paper
on
over
the other
rock.
Hand, being a minority, does that trump being a woman? That's a little trickier, but yes, okay?
Sometimes. Most of the time.
Now,
at least over a white woman.
This is very confusing because normally the LGBTQ
plus
thing would trump a lot of other stuff, right?
But no longer
But not if it's Pete Buttigieg, who just looks so mainstream. So it's really interesting, the Democrat politics. And that's why the New York Times, if you think that there is any kind of thoughtfulness or intelligence that goes into it, no. It's just they sit there and they play rock, paper, scissors, right? And whichever identity politics trumps the other one, that's what they do. So they endorse two women because they're no minority people. They're all gone. Right. They all and somehow or another, that's Trump's fault. Right. The fact that the Democrats would not support, Cory Booker or Kamala Harris,
Julian Castro.
Right. It's like somehow that's Trump's fault. But be that as it may, they're gone from the Democrat race. So you got Pete Buttigieg, who's gay. But that does not Trump in the
which is really annoying some Democrats because they say, a lot of these funders, we have a good friend who does much in politics, and they say, no. bundling. And he said that, you know, they were demanding that a minority, depending how you define that, must be ahead of whatever committee they were setting up. And he'd kind of go, but I'm gay. And no, that doesn't count. You're a white guy. Right. Gay white guys, gay guys are not
color. Yeah, and the rock, paper, scissors, they're just one step below white guys, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now you got, if you can combo deal, if you can be a lesbian, transgender, Puerto Rican,
Native, that's what hence Elizabeth Warren trying to be Native American Indian.
Yes, she gets
the rock, paper, scissors game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the stupidity of the New York Times. And it is in its own way just a complete acknowledgement that all we are about is identity politics, which, of course, doesn't fly in middle America because, again, the people who normally would have won the rock, paper, scissors games are no longer in the race, right?
Right,
they're stuck with the usual suspects and forget anything about qualifications, knowledge, experience has nothing to do. So they endorse two people. I read one tweet. It was Ben Shapiro said, it's like saying we pick both the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Hooray!
So,
like, what a bunch of idiots. I'm sorry.
Well, they filmed all this just to give transparency. You know,
they filmed their editorial meeting.
Yeah, with all the candidates. They're all filmed.
Oh.
And so you could see how the process was.
Was it kind of like Miss America where they're all standing here?
No. They brought it one at a time. But
were they all sitting in the foyer then, waiting for their turn to be called in? That's a weird kind of thing.
The only person
Did they have a Miss Congeniality or Mr. or I guess
well,
whatever?
I think Buttigieg won that.
Okay. Well, that's second prize.
But it was a strange kind of one, and you could see the New York Times board, which is something out of a Star Wars meeting now, you know, in the bar scene, you know. All this, what about your position on
and,
this?
And so then what did they do? They had drum roll, and the winners, basically the two women in the race. And I mean, that's just so ridiculous. And it says more than just the endorsement. It says, what a joke the Democrat Party is right now, that the New York Times realizes that it doesn't matter who they endorse as long as it goes with the identity politics, which, of course, no one else in America except for the coastal elites is paying any attention to.
Well, they can now go if neither of them gets it. Say, oh, misogyny. It was terrible. You know, how dare they pick somebody? And Elizabeth Warren is apparently very mad, you know, because it would have been if they had picked her, been a real feather in her cap. But since they picked all women who'd survived, it was, oh, great, great.
And that leads me to something else, too. I've been thinking about this. I don't think for a second that Elizabeth Warren, when she went after Bernie Sanders after the last debate at the end, right, where she walks over and says, you just call me a liar on national TV, right? She knew she was Mike. She knew
that was
going to be
gone. Everybody wears a mic on them ever since. The Brown up in labor when he went back to the car, he still had the mic on. He called that insufferable, bigoted woman. And so everybody knows if you got a live, if you have a mic on, you have to consider it. She didn't take the mic off.
No,
she didn't.
And that's
take
why
the
Bernie
mic
Sanders
off.
Was like, let's not do this here. And she, that was, well, and again, look at how they went for her. I would not doubt that CNN was behind that either.
Well,
I
CNN,
would not doubt that.
CNN goes, we've obtained. What do you mean you've obtained?
It's if it's recording it.
If you're recording.
It's your recording.
You recorded it. You obtained it from yourself.
They leaked it to ABC.
Yeah.
Ran it through the Jeffrey Epstein people. No, that is such a joke. Let me ask you another thing, Chuck. I was seeing today, what is all of this all of a sudden? Hillary Clinton, there's a Hillary Clinton, is it Netflix? Some kind of Hillary Clinton documentary.
Yes.
Right? Now, is
yes.
that paid for by the Clinton Foundation, do we think? Who paid for the Hillary Clinton?
No, it's not the Obama. No, I don't know who it's paid for.
No, I don't think Obama did it.
No, why not? Netflix, you know, they all get part of the cash. It's a Netflix or something, they do have a deal with the Obamas, but apparently she's just trashing Bernie, which is nice for her. You know, saying, nobody likes him, he's awful. I mean, the whole world hates Bernie Sanders.
But here's the thing, I think, though, anymore, they use documentaries because somehow or another, I mean, it gives it a sense of that there's
authenticity, truth,
exactly,
yeah.
And truth. And everybody's making documentaries about everything these days,
right?
Which no one watches. I mean, I was in the TV industry forever, and any TV reporter, all you ever really wanted to do was grow up and produce documentaries, right?
Because
you could get your teeth into it. But the reason you don't is because no one watches them,
right? There's
so
no money in it.
There's no money in it. Nobody
unless you're an Obama.
Unless you're Obama's, and even then, nobody watches it. For the rest of us,
they still get money.
Who depend on actual viewers. And so all I'm thinking to myself, why is everybody doing documentary? Every time you turn around, there's another documentary. And that is so they can selectively leak to the media portions of the pre-planned documentary that drives their agenda.
Right.
So the sole purpose of a documentary anymore is just to release very specific sound clips that drive
well, my
their
favorite
agenda.
One, HBO has just hired Brian Seltzer, who does...
Oh, this is so funny. CNN.
CNN on Sundays and stuff. He's going to do one on fake journalism because he's going to identify...
He's just going to run his shows.
Yeah, his own shows. I mean, that's hilarious.
That'd be an easy documentary.
I mean, it must be killing. It does kill. The way it works in politics is that the Democrats come up with the words and the Republicans adopt them. That's just how it works. They think, no, that word's not any good. No, we'll use this one and use that one. And they can't stand that Trump was successful with his fake news. So they say, we have to adopt that for our own. Pretend it was always ours.
And so he's the fake news.
He's the fake news. The misinformation and everything else. So it's just...
Well, nonsense. You know, they lie... And that's just the word for it anymore, right? They just lie. You go back to at any time. Here's some clues that you're being lied to is whenever you see debunked, right? Debunked conspiracy theory on whatever. That's a Democrat saying, okay, this was true, but we don't like to think about it anymore. And we don't want to actually call it not true because that can come back to bite us. So we're just going to call it debunked. You see all along now the debunked conspiracy theory by Trump, right, that somehow or another Ukraine was meddling in the election. Well, a story that Politico did in 2017 that exposed it all, right? Now it's debunked. Politico is calling it debunked. It's like, it's not debunked.
But the Republicans for so long were constantly saying in the Steele dossier that it was unverified, which means it could be verified. It doesn't say it's not true. It just says at this point they don't have enough evidence to prove it. And so it's an incredibly weak word. And I finally saw that, you know, Sarah Carter, who you can see a lot on Fox and so forth, finally wrote an article, and, you know, I love her. And she said it was the debunked Steele dossier. I went, finally, somebody's learned.
Finally, somebody's learned.
It's not unverified. It's debunked Steele dossier.
Well, that's go. You know, I'm still some time here. Chuck Bonniewell and Julie Hayden filling in for Karen Cataline. She'll be back next week, same time, same place. Her special guest, Ilan Hakim, a political writer, commentator, and attorney. And you can tune in, and we'd love to have you do so, to our show here at BBS Radio on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock Denver time.
Chuck and Julie show.
Call in here today, 888-627-6008. You know, speaking of debunked or undebunked, I wanted to talk to you about the new Peter Schweizer book.
Absolutely. And he kind of points out all the progressives that have made a fortune from Bernie Sanders to but Biden. And Biden's coming out particularly because Biden, this is dangerous to Biden because his last book on Clinton cash really did hurt the Clintons. I mean, enormously. It changed everybody's perception of them, of this wonderful charity.
Foundation.
Yeah, you can't remember. Republicans were dying to want to contribute to the Clinton Foundation. Everybody thought, you know, these saints were going around the world raising money.
They came to Denver, right? I mean, they would go around the country, the Clinton Foundation, and hold big hearings. And, you know, you would donate to the Clinton Foundation, which, you know, like a shocker of shockers, turned out to be just a money gathering scheme.
But nobody knew that until Schweizer wrote the book. Well, here, I mean, for the Biden, he says the Biden Five, where he has Biden's two brothers, his son, and his daughter, all cashed in huge amounts. One of the brothers got the contract or his company. They made him vice president, which means he does nothing, for 100,000 homes. Now, that's a big contract.
He had zero
experience
in home building. And so a company where they build them in Costa Rica or something
like that.
Well,
that's a different. That's another brother.
That's a whole other scandal. Okay.
A whole other scam. That one hasn't tanned out yet. But just showing you how the Biden Inc. went around the world, along with Clinton Inc., and just... You know, while fighting "quote unquote" corruption,
right? Well, and so what the book exposes, and we'll have to get it. We're just seeing excerpts of it now.
Well, it's available today, so we're hoping to pick it up tonight.
Right, and he talks about how these people go into the Senate, go into Congress, And they're just like regular people like you and me. And then they come out and they're multimillionaires and everybody in their family is a multimillionaire. And you know what Joe Biden did with Hunter Biden, the Burisma contract, the China contract, that's like nothing, right? That's a tip of the iceberg. Biden did it with all of his family members. You look at Bernie Sanders, apparently he did it too. His wife, right, is somehow involved in all of this. And that explains.
Well, Elijah Cummings was one of the biggest crooks there. He got his wife to set up this one for-profit, another nonprofit, and the big companies that come before his committee, they give $5 million each. I mean, and now they're going to name some office building after him. You know, Elijah Cummings is. I mean, it's just, if you didn't hate your politicians before.
Well, and it shows the degree of corruption, and it explains why, you know, Barack and Michelle Obama go into, I mean, they were well off, right? They certainly weren't hurting when he took office, but now
because of the books he wrote,
right? Which no one reads. Yeah. So now they're making Netflix movies. They're being nominated for awards for movies that no one will see. They're getting paid enormous amounts of money.
Just bought an $11.5 million estate.
Second home on Martha's.
But luckily it's not going to be worth anything because the oceans are going to flood it.
Well, and here's now to bring it full circle. This is what the Democrats, I think, more than anything, are afraid of with this, with Donald Trump, the impeachment hearing, the inspector general, not so much inspector general report, but the Durham and Barr investigation that's going forward, is that all of these people that you saw testify, all of the people that the Republicans want to call, have all been making a ton of money at the expense of American taxpayers through their political connections. And that is the true deep state, I believe. And that is the deep state that they are terrified about being revealed. Now, Donald Trump, you know, it cracks me up when you get Democrats who say, well, he had corrupt business dealings. I'm like, have you just even remotely listened to Joe Biden? I mean, at least Donald Trump were business dealings, right? It wasn't at the expense of the taxpayer.
Well, the trouble is that, you know, Joe had this, I'm middle class Joe. I ride the trains back to Delaware. I'm everything else. Instead, he's just a huge corruption machine. Just a huge corruption machine. I mean, Donald Trump is you know, people consider it emoluments clause, everything else. And you kind of assume that Donald would be corrupt, except he's so rich it doesn't matter at this point. But it is an amazing thing to watch. If this has the same effect,
the Schweitzer book,
Schweitzer's as Clinton cash, it's going to be devastating. It's just going to be devastating.
Well, and again, I think that one of the things that they know, they being the Trump people, right, is all of this. I think they have a pretty good feel for how it works. And I think, you know, the more the Democrats want to dig on this, I think hopefully the Republicans will say, okay, we'll dig. You know, let's take a look at the Peter Schweitzer book. Let's take a look at Hunter Biden, at Joe Biden. Let's take a look at Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren is probably going, she's reading it saying, I didn't know this. Why am I not?
She is pretty corrupt herself, always saying, I did this to help women, which is really screwing them over to get their settlements
less. She came from being a school teacher to all of a sudden she's incredibly wealthy. So that is, I think, the underlying corruption that
the Republicans can win if after this impeachment thing, all you think of, boy, they're all corrupt, and particularly the Democrats, and they haven't won. They've lost.
All right. Hey, so we're wrapping it up. That'll wrap it up for us here. Once again, I want to thank Karen Cataline for letting us fill in on her show, Spouting Off. She'll be back next week. Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden, we have our show every Wednesday. Pretty soon, at the beginning of February, we're going to move to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah,
at 3 o'clock.
Denver. So come join us, and we always encourage everybody on our show to make sure to pick up this podcast every Tuesday at 11 o'clock.
All right. So thanks to everyone. And thanks to the guys running the board for us at BBS Radio. And we'll see you tomorrow.